In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You will excuse me just fiddling with my messages here, but I actually want to read you a message from earlier today. Coronavirus AusGov message. Stay home this Easter and help save lives. Only leave for what you really need. Exercise, work, medical and care. And I guess most of us probably received a similar message. But who would have thought that we would be where we are now? Most of us in Australia and the world are shut inside our homes. And as good and vital as digital communication is, it doesn't come close to being face-to-face, handshaking, backslapping and hugging. Millions around the world have been laid off work, now standing in unemployment and welfare queues. Families not knowing how they're going to pay bills. And those who were already on welfare, their needs and problems have just been multiplied many times. Schools shutting down physically and education moving online, which is great that schooling can continue, but bringing extra work and headaches for all concerned. Worst of all, 1.5 million now struck down with COVID-19. Many have died. Hospitals and health workers threatened with being overwhelmed. The global airline industry at a virtual standstill. Nations, economies, societies shut down. Now, I don't mean to be talking doom and gloom at you at the moment, but the truth is I can hardly make it any worse by talking about it. It's utterly in our faces, isn't it? And I know we have probably in part turned to God and worship today to get some relief from it all. And some comfort and encouragement. I have. But you see, any hope or good news that the Christian gospel has for us at the moment, if it's going to be at all real and effective, it has to be able to reckon with our real world and experience just as it is. If we are feeling in any way restricted, confined or locked in a cage at the moment, the gospel is going to have to enter that cage with us if it's going to be able to let us out. And we'll see today that that is precisely what the gospel does. After he was resurrected, Jesus met Peter and said to him that days were coming when he would stretch out his hands and someone else would fasten a belt around him and take him where he did not wish to go. We're experiencing something like that, being bound in a place that we would not choose to go. Locked in our houses, not forcibly, but it is mandatory, and locked into isolation. Locked out of our social networks, usual work or study and leisure activities. Locked into loss of income, uncertainty, locked up in anxiety and fear. Locked in a cage. Are any of us getting a little bit stir crazy? I can't help thinking of the lyrics of the 90s rock group Smashing Pumpkins. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. Well, Jesus Christ was also locked up. He was falsely arrested and thrown into prison. But then he was tortured, falsely sentenced to death, crucified and killed. We've heard the story of that today from John's Gospel. So if we are feeling confined and locked in a cage at the moment, we can know that Jesus has been locked in a cage that is much, much narrower. And because of that, we can have confidence that Christ is very near us in our current situation. He understands what we're going through, and he's able to effectively help us and bring us through it into a place of liberation and peace. The gospel speaks to us in the grip of the COVID-19 pandemic. We find ourselves in all sorts of cages in life. COVID-19 is just one of them. But there are also many other kinds of imprisonment. Anger, violence, selfishness, envy, addictions to gambling, alcohol, pornography, or the prison of being a self-righteous person, trying to be our own saviours. Yes, that is also an evil bondage. And some of us can find ourselves in actual cages too, jail. And we look to God in his grace to let us out of all of these bondages, to lead us out of them, and he can and does. Yet greater than all these imprisonments is the prison of ego. That is the compulsion we have to rely upon ourselves and to go our own way in life. Now, we might think that that doesn't sound too bad, and even think it's pretty good. It's actually celebrated in the figure of the little Aussie battler. But the reason that it's wrong and a prison is because God made us essentially to rely upon his grace in all things and to go his way in life, to belong to him and love him. And this is why egotism, that is relying on ourselves and going our own way, is actually the greatest sin and the cause of every other sin. Satan's first temptation to humanity was, don't rely on God's grace, even though he's given you the fruit of every tree on the planet to enjoy, bar one. Take matters into your own hands. Grab the fruit that's forbidden. And then, don't follow God's directions. Get the knowledge of good and evil and work out right and wrong for yourself. Plot your own course. And it's this, egotism, that causes our greatest grief in life. That is, trying to make the right decisions about the course of our lives and to carry the weight of having to somehow make all that happen. That's actually an impossible, crushing burden to bear. And it causes endless failure, disappointment and misery. But we were never meant to bear it. We were meant to rely wholly upon God's grace and to go his way. Or if we are deluded enough to think that we can get there in the end very well by relying on ourselves, then we become self-righteous, arrogant, and judge and look down on others. That is the opposite of love. The sin of egotism is the cage into which every human being is born and cannot escape. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, the Old Testament tells us. And it's this cage, above all, that Jesus acted to destroy and liberate us from on Good Friday. It's kind of incidentally mentioned in John's story of the crucifixion that it all took place in the middle of the Passover celebration. Passover was the central event in the life of God's people, Israel, when he saved them from slavery and death in Egypt through the sign of the shed blood of a sacrificial lamb. God's people, now as always, are sinful and deserve God's judgment. Yet in great love and mercy, God carried the cost of that judgment in himself to forgive and save his people, to reconcile them to himself and to heal their brokenness. The sacrificial lamb at the time of the first Passover was just a sign of this, but Jesus Christ was the real deal. As John the Baptist said, pointing to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In his death on the cross on Good Friday, Jesus Christ paid the terrible cost of our sins and of the sins of the world. Old Testament prophecy tells us he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. This was fulfilled when Jesus, at the moment of his death, cried out, "It is finished." And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. There it is. The cage was smashed and we are set free. Christ entered our confinement, our imprisonment with us in order to destroy it and to liberate us. When Jesus met Peter after his resurrection, telling him that he would be bound and taken where he would not choose to go, it says that Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Now, what that was meaning and referring to was the fact that Peter was going to be arrested and crucified, which he was. In other words, the same thing was going to happen to Peter as happened to Jesus. Jesus had said to his followers, "Expect oppression and persecution, since the world will treat you the same way as it has treated me." Jesus was telling Peter that he would have opposition and persecution ahead of him, and quite possibly untimely death, but that he himself, Christ, had been that way before. And as Lord and Saviour of the world, he had undone and defeated sin and death for us, and that all who looked to him in faith and repentance would be liberated from bondage to them. And it wasn't just by accident that Jesus' path to resurrection took him through suffering and crucifixion. No, the crucifixion was the cause of resurrection. The Bible tells us that death is both the terrible curse and consequence of sin and the price that has to be paid for it. So therefore, when Jesus died that death for us, he both paid the price for our sins and cancelled them, and he also undid the curse and so destroyed the power of death and set us free from it. Crucifixion was the key that unlocked the resurrection. We can't separate the crucifixion of Christ from his resurrection. They are essentially bound together. And on Good Friday, we can't help having Easter Day in view. Therefore, through faith in Christ, Peter could calmly accept, even embrace, the oppression and confinement that was ahead of him, knowing that he was held secure in the grace of his crucified and risen Saviour, and he could have peace and hope, even joy in the face of all that confronted him. Now, for us as a world in lockdown, cut off from all our usual freedoms and social contacts, maybe feeling like rats in cages, this means something quite stunning. See, as the crucified and risen Christ comes to us now through the power of the Holy Spirit, the liberation that he has already won for us intrudes into our present, and it touches and affects our lives. It gives us a foretaste now of that ultimate liberation. Because of the cage that Smashing Pumpkins found themselves in, they chant over and over in their song, "I cannot be saved. I cannot be saved." You know how sometimes when we're trapped in very hard times, we can think it kind of contradicts and cancels any goodness and liberating power that we can know in Christ. But no, it is the cage, whatever narrow place we find ourselves in, that is precisely the place where salvation is given to us. And through faith in Christ, we can be transformed and set free even in our captivity. We can be in lockdown in the COVID-19 crisis and not be defined by that crisis, not be held captive by its fear and hopelessness, not crushed by it, but freed from its power to control and dominate us, freed in faith, hope and joy to be defined by Christ's victory over ego and sin and death for us. In fact, the thing that will most captivate us is not a virus, as terrible as it is, but Jesus Christ and his good news. You can actually see this reflected in a huge number of lockdown videos that are being broadcast on the internet now. I'm not sure if you've caught any of them. Individuals or couples or families locked down in their homes around the world and recording something on video and broadcasting it on the internet. My favourite one, I'm not sure if you've caught it, is called Les Mis Lockdown, that shows the Marsh family who are in the United Kingdom singing wonderfully the song from Les Miserables, the tune, One Day More, but set to COVID-19 lockdown lyrics. Quite wonderful. Look it up. But in this video and many hundreds like it, we see coming from lounge rooms where people are locked down around the world, they're singing these songs or doing skits or whatever they're doing, sending messages that are full of irrepressible love and joy and hope. That's in spite of it all. And they may not know that this actually comes from Christ, but it does. And yes, he's with them. Christ sustains every human being. He's with us whether we know it or not, giving us his gifts. And for those who don't know it and enjoy the goodness of Christ, the mission of the church is that they do come to know Christ in his fullness through faith and repentance. The confinement and restriction that we are in at the moment is our small share in the great suffering of Christ. And as that very narrow pathway of his suffering and crucifixion was his necessary pathway to resurrection, so through our faith in him, our present confinement will be a pathway for us to know more and more of the power of Jesus' liberation in our lives from all that imprisons us. Let's make sure we do that. And we will taste freedom in the middle of captivity, resurrection in the middle of crucifixion. Amen.